The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Yep. All right. Fresh off her soiree.
What?
Soiree, I guess you call it, through the East Coast and back.
Is that what you call it?
I wonder how Kate, you know how the Kings are horrible their first game back from a road trip, generally. I wonder how Katie's first days back from road trips are, if they're good, bad. I mean, I know she likes to see her kid. I don't understand why. Not with her kid. I'm just saying kids in general. They're selfish.
Wow.
Me. Do the thing for me. I want everything. We'll see. Katie joining us this morning. Voice analyst, of course, and voice of your Sacramento Kings. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
What are you laughing at?
Good morning. Just your mental disability.
Your mental disability. How was your trip overall? Good to be back. Are you still on East Coast time?
Definitely still on East Coast time, but I'm currently pouring my second cup of coffee. And when I say cup, I mean like tumbler.
Jug.
Tumbler.
Jug. I forget. Tumbler. Are you a creamer person or no?
So I use half and half, yeah. And I heat it and froth it. So.
Have you ever considered getting a frother? I'm asking. They're literally $5. I mean, honestly, if I
bet you have one on here.
I have one on my coffee pot.
But you don't use it, or you do?
I do. I do use it.
Okay. All right. Oh, so when you say you froth your coffee, you do it with the frother.
I froth the half and half before I put it in my coffee. I make myself a nice little latte.
No sweetener, though?
I use raw sugar. Oh, yeah.
Wow, raw sugar.
Dave, I don't want to get into the whole thing with the coffee creamer. I can send you a million things on why it's bad for you.
What are you talking about? Coffee creamer is bad for you?
Yes.
What like bad, like causes cancer bad or like has? Like,
okay, we'll get into that. We'll sidebar later about that. But yes, it's not optimal for your health.
Well, good, because you know me.
Pillar.
Yeah, you know what's not optimal for my health?
Of health.
Here's what's not optimal for my health, Katie. The Sacramento
I know
Kings.
Going. I listened to you guys earlier.
Yeah, the Sacramento Kings are not optimal for my health. And I'm not the only one here. How do you maintain, let me ask you this. How do you have such a wonderfully beautiful head of hair? And how is it not all pulled out?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's crazy, Dave. I've been doing this a long time now.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And I don't know if I'm like numb to things, but like this is just kind of how sports ebb and flow. And so, I don't know what to say to you, honestly.
Yeah.
It's the way it works, Dave.
I don't have an answer. I don't know. I live and die with this team. Mostly die.
Yeah.
Not a lot of live.
Okay.
I've been doing this for my whole adult life since I was 7. I don't know what the answer is. Do you just stop caring as much? I mean, but then that implies that you don't care and Jason isn't caring.
No, but what specifically do you want to talk about other than your mental health?
Why do the Kings keep blowing giant leads?
Yeah. Really not an answer.
Why were they up 19? They had 20-point leads against the Knicks.
Well, I can break it down for you, like logistically, I can break it down for you, but it doesn't mean that you're going to like the answer any better. Like, I talked about it in the first half. They made 14 threes in the first half, and the best three-point shooting team in the league, percentage-wise, in OKC made 4. And it's like, these are the situations where, like, you don't want halftime to come. You want to just skip halftime and go straight to the third quarter because they're not going to make 28 threes in the game. And when you look at, you look at OKC, they're not going to make 8 in the game. Like, everything evens out. Like, I knew that it was coming, and especially because of the lack of the Kings' ability to have any form of success in the paint last night. It didn't matter as much in the first half because they were hitting threes, but you can't expect them to hit threes at that rate for the entire game. They shot a franchise record. What was it? 56 threes, 58, something 58. Crazy like that, yeah. Last night. The previous record was 53 against Utah, 2013. I can't remember the year. I said it on air last night, but it's like they consistently did not have success getting in the paint. And when you look at how the Kings, like the breakdown, they're in the top 10 in points in the paint. I think they had 26 last night. So, you know, when you talk about how you can give up a 19-20 point lead, that's how. And that's how the three-point shot in general has completely changed this game. 20-point leads are not safe, because if you go cold and another team gets hot, you're done. And you can also get into the other things of, like, how in the world does De'Aaron Fox go to the free throw line for the first time? I think it was in the third quarter. Because even though he was shooting a high volume of threes, it's not like he wasn't, you know, getting into pick-and-roll action. Not like he wasn't getting into the paint. It was just, it's like every game has, you know, kind of a personality of its own. And I had a terrible feeling at halftime because of the three-point shooting alone from the Kings. And it's like, if it continues, it's great, and you win that game by 20. If not, you're in major, major trouble. And when you have a guy like SGA that gets to the free throw line the way he does, whether or not you feel it's justified, I don't think I need to share what camp I fall in on that side of things. And when you have calls like Davion had that brilliant defensive possession. I think it was maybe 2 minutes left in the game, maybe under 2 minutes. And he locked SGA down, and he literally picked up his pivot foot and then some circus shot and makes it. But there was a travel before.
Yeah.
So it's like there's things, and that happens in every game to every team. It's not like a solely Sacramento issue at all. It's also like how can the Milwaukee Bucks, before last night, I didn't check their score. I think they actually ended up beating Boston, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they were like 1-6 coming into that game over their last seven. I mean, like, truly struggling. And then they beat Boston. You know, like the legitimately the best team in the league. And
did you check that game, by the way? Did you see the interesting stat out of that game, Katie? I know you were traveling.
I didn't.
Boston did not miss a single free throw. They were 0 of 0. And the Bucks were the Bucks were 50% with Jason, league leader.
Giannis, considerable league leader.
League leader in free throw attempts. Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Bucks shot 50% from the line and still managed to win. They were 1 of 2.
NBA record.
By 9.
You're lying.
Nope.
There was 4 free throws in
two.
That
two.
Game.
There two. Were two. Boston shot 0 free throws.
Boston was 0.
Yeah.
Okay. 0. On the day where SGA shoots 20.
SGA gets 20. Yeah. SGA literally had 10 times more free throws than the Bucks and Celtics combined.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because Mark Dagenaut, who is the head coach for OKC, like right after the break, the All-Star break, I think it was like maybe a month after, maybe beginning middle of March, he went on this tirade of how the game has changed in terms of how the officials are officiating it since the break. More physical, calling less fouls, so on and so forth. And then it becomes a topic around the league, which it's like 100%. It has changed. They changed the way that they were calling fouls. It was more physical, so on and so forth, which is like fine. The thing is, it's about consistency. You need to know going into each and every game what to expect from the officials. And no one, like, you can't tell me, I didn't watch that game, obviously, because we were playing, but you can't tell me that there was one foul in that game on a shot, one.
Right.
Right. 100%.
Yeah.
Like, that's not consistent officiating.
No. Not at all. And I think that's tough on a night-to-night basis. I want to ask you, Katie, about what you were just addressing earlier about the three-point shooting last night specifically, but maybe more of a season-long thought for the team. My thought is, and I've heard Mike Brown, Jay Triano, a lot of assistants all say threes. You got to shoot threes, volume threes, spray threes, all that stuff. I don't disagree entirely with it, but I think the Kings have a higher view of them as a three-point shooting team. I'll maintain, I think they're good at it. I don't think they're great. And I think they can have better nights, but I think last night they certainly fell in love with it, and certainly there's some defensive restrictions with points in the paint. Do you think it's they think their better three-point shooting team or that philosophy is a little bit out of whack with their personnel?
Yeah, I think it's how their offense is. And I think it was the third quarter. Like, Harrison Barnes struggled last night from the floor. I mean, he was the only one that was consistently getting to the free throw line. He was attacking the paint, drawing fouls. Like, he was the only one that consistently was trying to do that, which you need. And he usually has a really good feel for the game in that sense. And he just was struggling shooting the ball in his third quarter, wide open spray three, wide open. And he puts the ball on the floor, ends up turning it over, and immediately Mike Brown turns and gets Trey Lyles to come up off the bench. And this is very early in the third quarter. And right after that, while Trey's still at the table to check in, there's a timeout. And he goes straight to Harrison Barnes and is like, you have to shoot that shot. Why are you – like, that is one thing Mike will do. He will pull anybody that does not shoot a wide-open shot. I don't care if you're 0 for 10. If you don't shoot an open three because of the way their system works, that's an issue, right? And so, yes, last year they shot the ball better as a group from distance. I can't say that it's one of those things where defense is, kind of cueing in on them. They figured it out. They schemed it better. I think that's a little bit part of it. But when you look at the number of guys that had career years last year shooting the three, that's hard to like not only match but improve on. And so the only thing I will say is there's times where I think the shot selection is not great. Like there was a couple last night. De'Aaron pulled a three kind of, second half. I can't remember which quarter. And it's like, that wasn't a good shot. Highly contested. You're the fastest guy in the league. Put it on the floor, get to the free throw line, get to the paint, do something different. Right? Draw two other defenders and pick to someone for a wide open shot. There's things like that where shot selection at times isn't great, but that's pretty consistent throughout the league. No one takes, consistently 100% of the time, has fantastic shot selection. But listen to me here on the part where the three-point shooting, I'm okay with it generally, is because of the fact that the Kings have the best offensive rebounding team in the league, mainly because of Domantas Sabonis. But Keegan Murray has been fantastic. I mean, collectively last night, they rebounded the mess out of the ball and gave them, like, there was that one possession where they had three offensive rebounds. All of them were threes.
Yeah.
And the fourth three they missed. And they finally, got the defensive board and went back down. And so because of that reason, I generally don't have a huge issue with them taking a high volume of threes because sometimes I think they get better offense out of it, but yeah, it's just, I understand the frustration and it's tough to lose a game like that where you desperately need it. And I think we also forget, like, this is the third best team in the Western Conference. It's not like they're, it's not like they're losing to Detroit or Charlotte, even though those games have happened, and that's why throughout the course of the year, when those happen, you sit there and you're like, this is going to come back and bite you because you can't expect to be up on the third best team in the Western Conference and be up 20 and say, oh yeah, we've got this in the bag. That doesn't work that way against great teams.
Katie Christensen joining us. Katie, we always do a double segment here. Would you mind holding real quick? I got to get a read in real quick. Can you stick around with us for a few more minutes? Oh my God. Do I need to put you on hold or can I trust you to be a professional while I do this read and just chill?
I'll be a professional. I'll even mute my.
Thank you. Okay. This isn't what I expected. Carmichael Dave here. I want to remind you, Crosstalk with Styles and Watkins will be happening in a few minutes. I need to talk to you guys about girth. It's consistently ranked as the most important attribute in the bedroom. And right now, my buddy Dr. Jack Friedlander and his buddy Dr. Pash, San Francisco, Dr. Jackson Roseville, They got UpsizeMatters.com, a website you need to check out for a procedure that is non-surgical, virtually pain-free. It's safe. It's effective. It's long-lasting and semi-permanent. Look, insecurity is a real thing. I know there's people listening right now. No one wants to admit it, but you deal with it. Get that confidence back for you and your partner. It's simple. These are doctor-performed procedures, okay? You get a free consultation. The procedure can be done the same day as your consultation. You walk right out. That's how easy it is. Dr. Jack in Roseville. Dr. Pash in San Francisco. Go to UpsizeMatters.com. That's UpsizeMatters.com. Upsize Matters. Get your girth on. We'll see if that sticks. I don't know. All right. Thanks, Chris. Back to Katie.
Okay.
What? You all right? You still
there? Oh, yeah. No, size matters. It's going to matter tomorrow night when the Kings take on the Pelicans, too. Because
well
they've had a really, really difficult time handling the size of that team.
See? You asked her to be professional.
I
crushed
did.
It.
I did, and I appreciate that. Before we get to that, Katie, can I ask you, it would be, you know, I don't want to make you like the girls basketball person from Dumb Stupid Guy Sports Host, but look, you played in the W, you played in college, as a gaucho, you are a, not only a longtime participant, but a champion of women's basketball. And this is like the best it's ever been. 18.4 million viewers for Iowa, South Carolina, Dawn Staley's undefeated championship team. That 18.4 million, as we mentioned yesterday, that's the most for a women's basketball game, Katie, in the last 5 years. That's the most for a men's college basketball game in the last 5 years. Oh, wait, that's the most for any basketball game, finals, playoffs, NBA, doesn't matter, over the last 5 years. Now, my question for you is this, because there's so much great stuff to talk about. You want to see this carry over to the WNBA. I looked it up. I think the WNBA's record was like game four last year of the Aces sweep, and it was 774,000 viewers. So 18.4 million, 774,000. I know you can't solve the world, and this is a huge question, but any thoughts on ways to bring those numbers along with Caitlin Clark and transport at least some of them to the W?
I think it will naturally, because she's drawn so many eyes to the sport. But let's be honest, like her and a lot of other women that have been playing over the last couple of years, and like in particular in women's college basketball, I think it will. There will be a transfer in that sense. Like there will be a great carryover in terms of people that just have fallen in love with her and the record and the you know, watching the season throughout the course of the year. I mean, we talked about it on the show, you know, recently. Like there's lines of people around. I mean, you know, huge arenas to get in the door to watch Iowa play. Mm-hmm. I played with Dawn Staley in Houston, and I think the world of her, and I'm going to be real, real honest here. I'm not taking anything away from what Caitlin Clark has done, will do in the W, anything like that. But man, like I'm sitting there watching the end of that game, and this is something that, you know, national media does on such a large scale. And I get it. You kind of get your claws into someone and you really ride that pony as far as it'll take you. But they had an undefeated season. Like, that is such a rarity in sports, and especially, you know, for them to be able to do it with a completely new group of people. She did not return a single starter. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, this game is over, and all they're talking about is Caitlin Clark. Mm-hmm. And it was a little infuriating to me as a fan of women's basketball, because there's so many great storylines. And the one that you're opting to just, you know, it's like beating a dead horse is just, yeah, we get it. She did a great thing. But, like, give these other women, give them their moment as well, you know? And the amount of, and this is where I probably shouldn't, like, spend any of my time because I don't have a lot of it, but like to look at the posts on Instagram and stuff like that, and then to read the comments. Like I play with Diana Taurasi, her and Sue Bird have that thing, you know, where they whatever they call it, where they talk during the game, you know, as they're watching it, which I think is a really interesting way to watch the game. But man, you know, they took a clip of Sue and Diana on Scott Van Pelt's show. And, you know, we asked and she said, reality's coming.
Yeah.
And man, the amount of shade thrown at Diana, like don't take a snippet of a clip and use it to shape a narrative of basically you're trying to, again, make women hate on other women. And it's bull crap. It is 100. It's such trash. And everything that Diana said was 100% true, and it wasn't directed at Caitlin Clark in a way of like you're not nothing, right? Like trust me, you're gonna get here and you're gonna get, you know, humbled. Listen, she is playing against kids. She's playing against kids in freaking coming out of high school. You know, she played against freshmen. I mean, literally in the championship game. Like you have to understand. And this is where I hate it, because it's a lack of respect still for women that are professionals that play year round in the W overseas. They've been doing it for a decade, and it is a real difference stepping onto that floor with grown women. Doesn't mean that she's not going to be great and it's not going to be great for the sport. But when someone asks a question like, what do you think that's going to be like? And she says reality's coming, because it is. It's a lot different, and it doesn't mean that she's hating on her in any way, shape, or form. And listen, they're going to play together on the national team. Like, and Diana is the best teammate that I've ever played with in my life. She is fantastic. Everybody loves her, loves to play with her, but they're going to take this moment and try to turn it into something that it's not by using just a little snippet of that interview to throw shade.
And yeah.
That's where I'm getting sick of the women, you know, the stuff that's going on with this narrative.
Well, and you're so right, Katie. I saw the entire thing, and actually Sue Bird and Diana were so incredibly complimentary of her and of South Carolina, really, more importantly. And the clip, if you just take the clip, but she went on to say, yeah, it's a reality. She's going to be playing against grown women. They're pros. But she will figure it out. She's too talented. Like, there was so much more to it, and really she was very complimentary, but then it was like, wow, look at people throwing shade at her already. I'm like, no, that's not really the way it went.
Yeah, it wasn't at all. And also the thing about taking Paige over Caitlin, dude, she played for UConn. Like,
don't
even ask the question. Right. What do you expect her to say?
Well,
that loyalty runs deep.
And as somebody who played with Diana, and I forget who said this yesterday. I think it was yesterday. But it was said in a very, not tongue-in-cheek, but she was smiling when she said this. But I think the direct quote was, Diana Taurasi is an a-hole. And then they showed a clip of like her knocking somebody on their butt after Diana got beat. And the gist of the conversation from the player, and again, I'm ashamed I can't remember the name, was she was saying, yeah, she's an a-hole on the court. Like, she is super competitive. She will bust your ass. And she definitely, like, this isn't like some cutesy little thing here. Like, she will bust you in the chops, and that's why people love to play with her. Would you say that's accurate?
100% accurate.
Yeah.
Like, you love to play with her, because I've never seen anyone, and this holds true to this day. And what is she going to play? Maybe another season? The fact that she's still going is, like, amazing. Because we talk about guys like Vince Carter, like LeBron, like all these people that are playing, you know, into their 40s, right? Well, she plays year round. I don't think people quite understand the brutality of that schedule for the women's players, because they have to go overseas to make money. I mean, they don't make a lot in the W. And a lot of the times people like Diana, very much like Tim Duncan would do, they don't take the max, because they want players around them, right? It's that just shows you the type of competitor that she is, that even when it impacts her pocketbook, she don't care, because she wants to win. And so, yeah, it's so accurate. She is an a-hole on the court. And that's why you want to play with her. And that's why you don't want to play against her. And she plays with a swagger that no one has, like, no one can meet that or match it. And I mean, maybe Cheryl Miller back in the day,
right.
You know, like, you know, that whole thing of, she's like, did you really score 100 points in a game? And she's like, yeah, I didn't play the last 2 minutes. Like, that's her immediate response to it. But I didn't play the last 2 minutes.
Kelsey,
you know?
Kelsey so, Plum of the Aces, by the way, Chris just told me.
Mentality.
Yeah, Kelsey Plum of the Aces was the name I was looking for. Thanks to Chris for a lot. But, yeah, 100 points.
Yeah.
She said she's an a-hole on the court?
Yeah. But she said, again, contextually, though, right. she was being very complimentary of her. But, yeah.
You know, we've talked about it in relationship to the Kings. And this is one thing that they have not been able, and it's hard. It's like catching lightning in a bottle, right? Every team needs an a-hole.
Right.
Because it really is something that it's a fierceness, a competitive nature. We're not going to take any crap. Like, you can't push us around. Like, it permeates throughout the team. It takes one person. But I want to ask you guys, seriously, can you think of one in the NBA right now that stands out?
An a-hole?
Yeah.
Draymond?
Like that mentality. Like, Draymond is, but his is a fine line because, as we've seen throughout the course of this season, his hurts his team as much as it helps it.
Right. Let's see. Bobby Portis, maybe. PJ Tucker. I'm stretching here.
Beverly.
Patrick Beverly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Pat Bev is one, but he's also a little bit later in his career. It doesn't have the same impact. Yeah. Dylan Brooks.
That's
yeah, people love to hate him too. You know, but we're talking about the entire league, 30 teams, and we could name maybe three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know if Marcus Smart counts, but I agree. It would be nice. I mean, who would ours be? The closest we have is what, like Trey Lyles?
You can laugh about it. I'm not lying. Like,
I mean, he's not an a-hole though, but you get what I'm saying.
He's the one.
Yeah,
he's the one that you remember it was Brooke Lopez.
Yes.
The Nets last year. Like, he's the only one.
And he's a sweet guy too.
Yeah.
Huh?
I said, I'm laughing because he's also a very sweet guy.
A super nice guy.
Yeah.
Like, and we've only seen it a couple times, but you know, that's the closest that they have to it. And listen, I think every team needs one, but it's a rarity. And so to get back to the Diana point, like, oh my gosh, you know what's there and you're like, wow, I'm gonna go into battle with her. I'm gonna ride with this, you know?
Yeah.
And so and knowing her the way that I do, I don't care what people are saying about her right now. She literally does not care.
Nor should she.
You're not taking up any space in her brain. She does not care.
Well, maybe we need one of those people at 11:42 for truly a good team. Who would 11:40 Dylan Brooks be? I say it's Whitey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You say it's Whitey.
I don't know.
You leave Whitey alone.
Yes.
We all know it's Jason.
That exactly. is true. Thank you, Katie. Go make it. Let's see. First day back. Go make your dog food.
I do need to do that probably tomorrow. You're right.
Go grab your scissors and take care of the grass in the backyard. Maybe reset the buckets.
At least into my house. I don't have grass in my backyard.
No, that's
at least be factually correct.
Reset up the buckets in the shower to catch the water that you recycle. All that fun stuff, whatever it is.
But listen, I am at least trying to do my part, sir.
You are. You sure are.
Every little bit helps.
Every little bit counts.
Postable Ziploc bags, the whole lot. Yes.
Do you rewash your Ziplocs? You do, right?
No, I have compostable ones.
Oh. Also, she carries a handkerchief, a bandana. She carries a snot rag in her pocket so that she can save the branch of a tree from carrying Kleenex around.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. All right, that's Katie Christensen. She is a farm to fork and green as can be, and she is the analyst for the Sacramento Kings. She joins us each and every Wednesday. Thank you, dear. Have a wonderful day, and say hi to the little one.
All right, you guys too.
All right, take care. Bye. That's Katie. We'll take a break when we return. What to watch? And there's a few things to watch tonight, including some baseball as well. Then we'll get to Crosstalk with Styles and Watkins and celebrity birthdays. We'll do all that next. We'll be right back.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sactown Sports.
Welcome back.
Nate's ready to go today.
Nate's fired up.
Yeah.
Does he really need to come and talk to you as the music comes
back?
No,
but
playing?
He made
a really interesting point.
Have you not noticed that Nate, and we're talking about Nate, which one is it? Littlefield.
What other Nate do we have?
We have Nate, the other one. Oh, no, that's Kyle. Sorry.
There is another Nate here.
There is.
Yeah, but
everyone gets them confused.
Wait, there's Nate Littlefield. Wait, who's the other Nate?
You don't know the other Nate, do you? He's rarely in here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you know the Nate story.
Wait, do I? Okay. We'll save that for after
Nate
the show.
Nate Geiger.
Anyways, Nate, the filmmaker, the esteemed director of Bubbles.
Yes.
Available right
smash
now.
Hit.
A smash
and Boat
hit.
Ghouls.
A smash hit. Bubbles.
I'm a bigger fan of Boat Ghouls.
Boat Ghouls is epic.
They're
still talking about it for decades.
He had questions about one of our clients.
Hmm.
And so we were in.
What was it?
I can't remember, but I wasn't listening. The problem is that Nate likes to come in and start conversations as we're coming back from break. And completely oblivious, much like, I don't know, a guy in a crosswalk, oblivious to everything that's going on around him. So. It's nice to see Nate the other night socially. We hung out.
Mm-hmm.
We hung out, watched college basketball together.
That's right.
Me, him, and his girl. Just watched and ate appetizers.
I didn't know that Nate likes his steak not well done.
Chill out on
but
that.
But congratulated.
I didn't order it like that.
Wait, he likes his steak congratulated? What
it's
is that?
Past well done.
Wait, no.
I don't like my steak like that.
You don't?
What? I ordered it medium. I'm not going to. Listen.
I understand. Look. Right. And we'll be careful here.
Yes.
But when, okay, Nate, if I was to take you to a nice steakhouse tonight.
Sutter Street. That's my favorite steakhouse. Not Outback, because I know that's where this is probably going.
Nope.
It was a, question.
Chris, would you like to finish what, because it was incredibly obvious to everybody what I was about to ask you. Chris, would you like to ask him the question?
If I were to take you to a steakhouse.
Medium rare.
Now, how did you make the leap there, but not before?
No, I'm just jumping the gun here, but yeah, medium rare.
Okay,
a nice Philip Mignon medium rare.
That's
my favorite cut.
You almost got a spit take out of Ross. All right, medium rare.
Nate.
Medium rare is correct answer. We would accept medium. I'm a medium rare guy. We would accept medium.
It depends on the steakhouse. It's a toss up a lot of the times.
Yeah,
right? It depends where you're at, what time of day.
It's a waiting game.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show, though, guys. I haven't been here in a while. I've missed you guys.
Are you? Why aren't you doing Friday?
He's working the Kings game.
A Kings game, and then Saturday morning I'll be here at 4:30.
Are you complaining?
No, I'm just letting everybody know that's what I'm doing. Friday night, it's going to be a good time.
Good, because we had a text earlier, 916-339-1140.
Did it have to do with girth?
No, it said, what is Nate doing Friday? And so I'm glad you covered that.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
People really
Every
care.
Day.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Ouch.
All right, back to it. Thanks, Nate.
Yeah.
Unplanned visit. You can see Nate's work in Bubbles.
Yes.
Academy Award nominee, perhaps. We'll see.
It is good.
It's wonderful. The Mavs and Heat.
It was okay.
It was fine.
Bubbles.
Mavs at Heat. Nate still has not, by the way, put me in any of his stuff.
No,
it's
not yet.
A little disappointing.
He's talking to me about it, though.
Has
we're in negotiations.
Hasn't even talked to me about it.
Wow. And you're
he likes my work.
Does he?
Mm-hmm.
Chris is the most, he's the champ. He knows him personally.
Jason was really good in all the champ videos, though.
He was very good.
I think he deserved a nomination at least
Nate
for supporting.
Talent.
Oh, in the 1140s?
The
awards that we do every year?
Yeah. The Sporty 40s?
The 40s?
Yeah.
Timberwolves at Nuggets?
Just an honor to be recognized.
Spurs at Thunder? What would you do if somebody randomly came up to you at like a train? Why would you be at a train station? At a restaurant or something? I don't know.
It's because I stay away from the street so I don't get hit.
No, not you, idiot. What if I'm saying, what if they came up to you?
I'm just going
to
turn his mic off.
Thank you. Golly. Oh, my goodness. What if
I'm at the train station,
you're
what
at the
happens?
Train station. Somebody comes up and goes, Hey, I know you. Were you the one in the champ videos?
That'd be an honor.
How would you even react?
Yeah, for real. Say, which one was your favorite?
I was always terrified when someone said, like, hey, champ. Like,
You were in the champ videos.
I was in a couple. I think I was, wasn't I in one where, like, I'm doing a show and then he just, like, the champ just walks in and starts doing things and boots me?
Yeah.
I think I was. It was good acting.
A couple of ones. Oh, who do we have? One of the kings was in one of them, and that was with you.
The champ videos?
Yeah.
And the king was in it?
Oh.
I know. I mean, we weren't talking Spencer Hawes.
No.
Really?
Doug Christie?
I can't remember. He plays in Japan now.
Oh, like, Jack Cooley.
Where he doesn't say a word in it.
No, that's true. That was the whole gimmick. He doesn't say anything. I think that was when we had Jack in, when Kyle and I had Jack in on his birthday, I think, and gave him all his birthday presents, and we gathered the presents from around the radio station. So he got, like, Sarah McLachlan's greatest hit CD, stuff like that.
Still to this day.
Quick choice, because I know we got to go to break here. Would you like to go to break right now, or would you like to name every single person that has ever been in one of your champ videos that worked here?
Go to break now.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Krause Talk with Styles and Watkins and celebrity birthdays. We already knocked one out, brought to you by Crumble Cookies. We'll do that next.
It's time for the news of the day.
The latest headlines, the biggest stories,
hard-hitting analysis.
Yeah, this is none of those things.
And now,
here's Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross.
You try.
Good morning to you too.
I specifically, because I know you guys. Yeah. Made it a point to say, and I quote, I felt this way before you guys got here. It was after the last break I walked in, and it's like my very first sniff was like eggs, and then it moved on from there. And so I immediately looked at Jason, and he goes, not me. So I don't know.
I don't eat eggs.
Wow. You don't eat eggs?
I do, but I like a fried egg. More than scrambled.
I'm weird with eggs too, Chris.
Yeah, I'm just.
I'm always very weird with eggs.
Like the egg.
Chris
like
has a problem with something that everybody loves.
Yeah. Like the egg patty type. I can't do that. But fried egg, I'll do.
Oh,
that.
So you would not like our egg maker?
No, I saw that. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's pretty crazy right now because now baby Styles, we have to make sure you know whether or not she's allergic to anything. So right now we're in the phase of that type of stuff, and she's eating the egg and. A baby eating the egg.
Have you shared on the air your child's name yet?
I didn't, but Frankie did.
Twice.
I think we have multiple times.
Do you have, like,
since when it was baby race?
When a baby race. Yeah.
Over, under 3.5, really dumb. And by dumb, I mean air quotes because it's something all parents do. Mm-hmm. Nicknames that you have applied to your child.
Oh.
Like,
not too many.
Really?
Yeah, not too many. I mean, it's a short name, so.
That's true.
You know, it's no.
I can't remember last time I called my daughter Avery. For like, we're just a nickname household.
Well, that's three syllables.
That is true.
We're a 2-syllable household.
Everybody has 2 syllables?
For now. Well, even the cats.
What are your cats' names?
Shasta and Xena.
Oh, okay. Well, Xena is in the Warrior Princess?
That's right.
Hey, so it's X-E-N-A.
That was a great show.
That was a great show.
You know, you
show.
Would start with Hercules and then Xena. That's just a great American
That's right. Name. And the even better thing is that the guy who plays Hercules turned out to be a really good dude.
Mm. Gross.
Dork.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And my childhood's ruined. Dad, I hope you're listening.
Yeah, love you, Dad. Celebrity birthday. Oh, brought to you by... real quick. Are you guys... I assume you guys are going to be all over the Masters golf tournament the next couple days. Are you excited?
I am. You know, I was just talking to Chris, and I said, hey, when the Masters happen, does that give you an itch to get out there yourself, but you also want to watch, so it's a catch-22?
It is.
Does it make you want to go get out there?
It does, but everyone knows this. There's, like, Black Friday, and there's golf courses Masters weekend. Don't go. Dude, have you ever been? Oh my god! Because everyone's like, now you would think the opposite.
Yeah,
you would think like everybody's out to watch it.
Okay, right. but okay. So Chris tried to treat me like I was all snooty because I said, well, you can be out there, and you know, a lot of the golf carts have the screens with the audio and the video.
That's
and Chris
right.
said, I haven't been to places like that.
I
there
do
are a lot
not
of golf courses.
With those,
that's not crazy.
I go to
public courses. They're at public courses.
What, on the cart?
Yeah.
You're talking about like they get TV broadcasts?
Well, you can play the audio through your phone and there's a screen. They're not playing the TV.
I have been to those, but the only one I can think of that I remember is PGA West down south.
That's like, what I'm like, okay. The Bay Area guy over here is like, it's just typical for our courses.
Yeah,
actually.
Harding. Yeah, TPC Harding and
Presidio.
This guy's Presidio. Now I'm just feeding
you. Yeah, that dog track TPC Harding. They have at the Presidio.
I'm here playing Lamb Park and Bing.
All right, exactly.
Hey, I'll see you.
Shout out to those.
Love those. Those are my places.
Those are my places, too.
I haven't seen you out there.
Oh, I mean, even Winchester, which I was a part of up until recently, and that's a foofy golf course. And
yeah.
No, they don't even have they're one of those.
No longer apart?
No. No. But I won't get into it because I don't want to be a D-bag about it, but no. I'm a free agent right now.
Yeah.
I'm a golf club free agent right now.
We'll go in together.
I'm looking, but I haven't bought yet. You're in a really snooty place where they don't have even the GPS reader screen because they expect all of you to have your own little radar.
Olympic. You ever golfed Olympic in the city?
No.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Wow,
it's so old school. When you go in there after for lunch, they ask that you put your phones away.
Yeah.
You can't be on your phones in there.
Yeah,
I had to go outside and call my wife to say I was done.
Yeah. Or what about hats? You got to take off your hats.
Got to take them off.
Pants?
Got to take them off.
Got to take them off.
Celebrity birthdays, Jason Ross.
After.
Hi, Alan.
First off, again, happy birthday to Kyle Draper.
Our guy, Kyle.
Yeah. Well, we brought him on to sing. Oh, that'd be a great bit.
No,
we brought him on and say happy birthday to him. You guys should do the same thing. Just do it all day.
Yes. He really liked it.
I thought he did.
You called him a bit early. I was like, wow.
He said it made his day.
Was it too early in the day?
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, 8:45, you know?
Yeah. It's not Brendan. It's not Brendan here.
It's his birthday.
8:45 is lunchtime. What are you talking
about? He seemed like he was out and about, too.
He did. He sounded like he was in his car going somewhere.
All right, well, we'll call you on your birthday.
Please don't.
No,
please don't.
Don't do it.
Please don't.
What about a surprise party?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God,
You'd
no.
love that, right?
Absolutely.
What about a surprise party?
The worst?
Yeah.
I think that would actually be the worst.
What about a surprise party at the Olympic Club?
With
now
cake.
We're talking.
With
now
cake.
Oh, no cake. No pie.
You can watch golf.
Celebrity birthday is
brought to you by Crumble Cookies.
Hey, I see you've got Ken Griffey Jr. shirt on.
Kid.
Happy birthday, Ken Griffey.
Senior.
Mm.
Hey, back-to-back home runs those two.
That was crazy.
Ken Griffey Jr., by the way, second best swing in the history of baseball. Really pretty swing.
Who's first?
No, he's not.
Will Clark.
No.
First, Will Clark. Come on. Go ahead and butterfly on that swing. You know that.
But he couldn't hit it.
Ken Griffey.
Wow.
Ken Griffey Senior. I didn't realize Jason was such a Will Clark hater.
My God. He just knifed me. Will Clark, Ken Griffey Sr. is 74.
Gotta be older than that at this point. 82.
Does he have to be?
He has to be. 72.
You went younger than 74.
Yes. Thank you for paying attention.
He's gotta be older than 74. I'll say 72.
I'm gonna say 76.
We have a correct answer, guys. He's on a heater. Carmichael Daly.
Wow.
That's four of the last five.
74.
Four out of the last five.
Happy birthday. Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal.
Yeah. Talk about great people after
wonderful, wonderful guy. Totally not a fraud either. Steven Seagal.
Do you know the story about him? He was...
yes. I know it well. I believe I actually had the stuntman on my show, as a matter of fact, on the old night show. Steven Seagal got in a fight with a stuntman, was talking smack, and the stuntman choked him out on set.
And then something else happened.
Yeah, and then something else happened. Steven Seagal is
71.
Christopher Law, the closest, 72 for Steven Seagal.
He is old.
Happy birthday, Babyface. Oh, you would never know.
You would never know.
Yeah. That's a good question.
Cody Rhodes?
Babyface a little underrated to me.
Yeah, I agree with
that. Isn't he the one that's like teams up with L.A. Reid?
With everybody. Yes.
And did he sing on that Madonna song?
Probably.
I've always been in love. Yeah. Always with you. Okay.
That's an auto-tune on there.
Thank you. Babyface is 60. But looks 20.
62.
He's 62.
66.
58.
Chris Watkins, the closest, 65.
Wow. Baby wow. Face. Yeah. What a, like, old man face.
Happy birthday,
right?
Haley Joe Osmond. Pardon my French.
Pardon my French.
Can I Google?
Haley Joel, you know, have you seen him now? Sense.
Have you seen him now?
He was in. Did you see him in The Boys on Amazon?
Oh, no.
Wait, you really don't know who it is?
I'll show you the scene. Haley Joel Osment is like, God, 35? Can't be that old. By the way, Haley Joel Osment's favorite movie, it's so underrated, seriously, and I can't remember it. It's got Robert Duvall and Mike O'Kane. Yes.
Lions something.
Something Lions.
Secondhand Lions.
Secondhand Lions, thank you. Wonderful 36. Movie.
36.
42.
Yes,
34.
I said his name like that on purpose.
We have a correct answer. Alan Stiles, 36.
Oh, yeah. Good job.
Dang it all to heck.
Oh, would have been a king for a little bit. Nerlens Noel.
Man, that guy.
Nerlens.
He was a guy.
He was a guy.
He was a dude.
Here's a guy.
Nerlens Noel is 30.
Mm-hmm.
30. Two 30s.
29.
31.
We have a correct answer. It's 30.
I just can't.
And one last one. He was a king for about 10 minutes this year. Juan Toscano Anderson.
JTA.
Chris Verlade's favorite player.
Yes.
He's 20.
Second favorite
player. Shout out JTA.
He's
the town's 30. Finest. Third? Oakland's finest.
27.
JTA is
27.
28.
Well,
if anyone is going to know this, it's Mr. Warriors over here.
Yeah. I'll say 31.
You'll 29.
We have a correct answer. Yeah. 31. Chris Walker.
Mr. Warriors over here.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
All right. As we take a break, just real quick, Alan, since you used to play pro baseball, do you have an explanation as to why the best swings in baseball history, we're talking about Will Clark and Ken Griffey Jr., why are they always lefties?
Well, as a lefty myself, it just looks better. But there's things that
but
look...
But why? Is it because you turn towards first and that's where you leave?
Maybe. You... Maybe, but I don't know if that's why it looks
I've never
prettier.
Heard a logic... Based, I'm not ripping you. I'm just saying, why could a right-handed batter not have the same beauty to his swing as a left-handed batter? There has to be a reason.
Yeah, it's probably because of the finishing, but I would say for that, you have how lefty QBs always look. It just never looks
left-handed
pretty.
Jump right. Shot looks better, I would say.
Really?
Yeah. I think a left-handed jump
well,
shot.
Oh, sorry. Well, let me tell you something, though. What does look better is your pocketbook when you check out Ram Truck Month. Going on right now at Hoblet Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram and Woodland. Very, very excited to bring this to you. 75 years in business. You know how you last 75 years? By not being a trash business. That's exactly right. And Hoblet is the opposite of that. What better way to celebrate than helping you get the hard-to-find HD Ram you've been looking for much less than you've been offered? Yeah. Right now, save up to $8,000 off MSRP on the new... 2024 Ram 2500 Tradesman Crew Cabs and with California's biggest selection of Ram trucks. Think about that. The biggest selection of Ram trucks is just 5 minutes from the airport in Woodland at Hoblet Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Experience the difference. California's number one Ram truck dealer. Search, select, and save through their whole inventory at HobletDodge.com. Unbeatable prices. Unbeatable selection. Nobody beats Hoblet. Period. The fastest growing show in all of radio. Styles and Watkins. Yes.